So I think what I'm going to talk about here follows on really well from what the minister said. And I'm going to start with the hypothesis, the proposal, that ARPA is a public sector new technology venture fund. And that's the way that we should think about it. And I've drawn on conversations and work from a lot of people here, and I've just listed them on the bottom there. So this is how I'm going to talk through this proposal. Right. So my outline here is that I believe ARPA's role is to deliver technology solutions for national security challenges. And the focus here should be speed and delivery. And when I talk about national security challenges, I mean that quite broadly. So some of the things the minister referred to, really, that could be a public health challenge. It could be an energy... Ex-minister. So it could be a public health challenge, an energy security challenge, or a digital security challenge, any of those things. And what I'm drawing on here is my learning from Innovate UK. And as you rightly said, Greg, the work that was done in developing the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund was one that I led with some of my colleagues, with Kevin Bourne and Mike Biddle. And there's a lot, I think, to learn from that. So while we were looking at the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, we spent time talking to people from DARPA. We had a group over from there. And in the next slide, I'm going to compare Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, DARPA, and where I believe ARPA UK should sit. I think it's important that we consider it to be like a venture fund, to have the sense of a venture fund. Obviously, it's not there to make returns, but the feel of a venture fund with the speed and the flexibility that comes with it, I think is a good way of looking at it. And then lastly, a straw man proposal. It's going to be wrong. Of course, it's going to be wrong. But let's just get into the details of what ARPA might look like. So on my next slide, if you get the chance to look at it now or later, I'm going to go through the purpose, the oversight, governance, and then talk something about the scale, funding, and the difficulty in recruiting people. So the purpose for DARPA and ARPA, I think, is national security broadly. And DARPA always said that their investment or their funding was so that they wouldn't be strategically surprised. The ISCF, the Challenge Fund, is quite different. Its goal was to stimulate the UK economy and to raise productivity. It wasn't about security, and it certainly wasn't to have government as a customer. It was to have business growth and customers very broadly. And the way that it was set up, we started by engaging with business, by selecting the challenges with business, ideas that would be very valuable in bringing in revenue and growing businesses in the UK. So there was a partnership with industry and government from the very beginning. You know, it's a big chunk of public funding, so there is some strong oversight. In fact, I would say that the ISCF has really not wanted the governance at all. It has some scrutiny at all levels. So from UKRI through BEIS through Treasury, of course, many levels of approval authority, so challenge directors up to 10 million, and then increasing levels of oversight and authority for spend, so four levels of oversight. So really a very rigorous and well-controlled programme, 2.7 billion, currently 20 challenges, as you said. They range from 33 million, the audience of the future, the smallest, up to 274 million, which is the Faraday Battery Challenge. And it requires matched funding. DARPA and ARPA, I think, have some differences. So as well as the purpose, the oversight is really light for DARPA. So there's an annual report to Congress, and it's overseen by the DARPA director, who is appointed by Congress. And I think it's really important that ARPA UK maintains as light as possible an oversight, so that the challenge directors are able to work at speed and really be very competitive. So I would propose a single high-level board. We can talk about what that's going to be in a minute. And the program leaders, the people who are going to lead the programs are hired together with their business plan, as happens with DARPA, and that they are funded for 3 years in the first instance, and they are really left to build their program and deliver in the way that a chief executive would be, having been funded by a venture fund and provided their business case for how they want to do that. So approval authority, I've come up with a thought that the program leaders, as I'm calling them, should actually be assigned to a host institute. And that host institute need not sit within UKRI. So it could be NPL, it could be VMIC, as you said, it could be a Catapult Centre like the Energy System Centre or a Royce Institute. But I believe an arm's length body, an arm's length institute would be a good place for them to be. And there are actually several hundred of them in the UK. It's important that it doesn't have matched funding, no labs, so a virtual organisation under the programme leader, and has complete focus to deliver on the business plan that has been laid out. When it comes to recruitment and salary, this is a difficult one. It was difficult to find challenge leaders for the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, so maybe 50 to 100 candidates before we found them, and they are UKR employees. When I left UKRI, I think it was something in the range of 120,000 was the salary for, in my experience, for a biotech company operating maybe £50 million worth of investment, an average salary would be more like 180,000, and that wouldn't be out of line with DARPA. So if we go on to the next slide, if you're able to show it, I'll just give you a flavour of why I think it's important to think like a venture organisation and think of this as a CEO given opportunity to deliver. So George Heilmeier, who was the DARPA director in the 70s, crafted a set of questions on which to evaluate proposed research programs. And these have become really well known as the Heilmeier Catechism. And they cover what you're doing, how it's done, what's the approach, who the customer is, what are the risks, what will it cost, how long will it take, what are the midterm and final exams. And they really match very well with a venture investment checklist on all of the things that you want to see in a business plan, and you want to get the sense that this will work before money will be assigned to a CEO and put to work. And in my last slide, I'm just going to go through what I would describe as the proposal in high level. So it is to deliver on national security challenges with focus and speed, and therefore needs to be light touch. I would regard ARPA as an agency which is virtual and takes advantage of existing infrastructure, no new bricks and mortar, and actually is more like a budget line than an agency, and should have no additional legislation in order to get it up and running. The programme leaders should be entrepreneurial CEO style leaders, and it would be good to draw on people who have been serial entrepreneurs or who have been investors or venture partners in venture organisations. They would gather around them a small and predominantly industrial advisory group. So important for them to have the advice that they need in order to help them deliver. And there would be a single high-level oversight board, and we should draw widely across science, technology and government here. So I'm thinking of the level of the chair of UKRI, Council of Science and Technology, the government chief scientific advisors, a useful representative of ministers from BEIS and Treasury, or their delegates, and maybe one or two others. So the board I just described would select the challenge areas broadly. I think that's a government role to select the challenge areas. And then the program leaders, based on the people and the business plan, would be selected by the board. I think Innovate UK could very happily run the process. And funding would be provided as a ring-fenced budget line to a suitable host institution that the program leader would choose themselves. The program leader would be able to manage projects as they see fit. So they could sponsor research in a university department, in a business, in a contract research organization. It's their choice. And they would have a budget allocation up to them to use it as they see fit. And then, of course, we already have some processes in place to allow follow-on funding through existing organisations such as Innovate UK, getting investment from other parts of the investment ecosystem, such as the British Business Bank. And we would be looking for them to deliver intellectual property, licensing, and solutions to the challenges that government have set out. And then government, I would expect to be procuring those solutions as they are delivered. And I am going to pause there, even without slides. I hope you are able to follow what I was saying. Thank you.